Wake up, sleeper. It is Thursday, May the 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Are you ready to dive straight in today? I am. That's coming for singing. It's going to be a good morning. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we finished Ephesians yesterday, and I've got a two or three postscript PS days here for us. Just feel like there's more to be said about a couple of things. And so today's entry is entitled On Prayer, Taking Off the Training Wheels and Riding the Bike, Part 1. And that means there's at least going to be a part 2, maybe a part 3. But let's read our text. I'm reprising Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. There's just so much there. So hear now the word of the Lord. And pray in the Spirit on all, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. It is very interesting how Paul ends this letter to the church. He repeats a particular word no less than 5 times in a mere 3 verses. You saw it. The word is prayer. One of the great mistakes we can make is to assume we understand and really grasp what prayer is. But do we really? Sure, we get it at a functional level. It is pleading with God for help. And this is what it looks like from the outside. There is a way of praying that is merely pleading with God for help. And if this is the extent of our understanding, then when we hear someone tell us we should be praying more, we will hear it as a need to turn up the volume on our earnestness and pleading. We all know what it feels like to try harder in this way, only to run out of gas until someone gets in our face again and we repeat the process. Sadly, the word prayer has been bandied about so much in the culture that it has become a cliche, so much so that nowadays, in the wake of terrible tragedies, the unbelieving world will shout at what they perceive to be the church these words, no more thoughts and prayers. But clearly, Paul means more than this when he deploys the term prayer. So, for starters, Paul doesn't speak English. He never actually uttered the word prayer. He is writing in the Greek language. He chooses the term, or some form of it, prosukomahi. Prosukomahi. Prashukomahi. Say that with me. Prashukomahi. It literally means to exchange. It means something like to interact with God by exchanging human wishes for divine ideas through an impartation of faith. How about that? We thought it said pray. to interact with God by exchanging human wishes for divine ideas through an impartation of faith. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. As I read it, the Bible reveals prayer as a supernaturally aligned way of hearing and seeing, becoming a divinely empowered way of being and moving with God in the world. Can I say that again? Prayer is a supernaturally aligned way of hearing and seeing, becoming a divinely empowered way of being and moving with God in the world. Writing in the 3rd century, John Chrysostom, Archbishop of Constantinople and one of the great fathers of the church, offered these words about prayer, reflecting his own grasp of the concept of prayer from his reading of the Bible. The potency of prayer hath subdued the strength of fire. It had bridled the rage of lions, hushed the anarchy to rest, extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the gates of heaven, assuaged diseases, repelled frauds, rescued cities from destruction, stayed the sun in its course, and arrested the progress of the thunderbolt. Prayer is an all-efficient panoply, a treasure undiminished, a mine which is never exhausted, a sky unobscured by clouds, a heaven unruffled by the storm. It is the root, the fountain, the mother of 1,000 blessings. Prayer. Wow. Thank you, John Chrysostom. That's remarkable. 3rd century right there. Or maybe it was 4th century. I don't know. I got the words right. I just would love it if you'd print that off today and just kind of sit with it for the next 5 years. Just read that every day alongside the Word of God. That's a wake-up call in and of itself. Well, let's pray. God our Father, how we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we come to you now as did your first disciples, and we join their prayerful pleading with our own personal request. Lord, teach us to pray. Take off our training wheels and teach us to ride the bicycle with you. Praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. Couple of few journal prompts today. So, what are you learning about prayer these days? Are you stuck in your prayer life? Is your prayer life gone stale? Are you ready for the next level? And what if the next level's not up? What if it's down? What if it means getting lower to the ground? What if it means trying to come back to a sense of beginner's mind, like, maybe I really don't know anything about prayer. That's kind of where I am. Sometimes you've got to let go of what you think you know in order to be taught something you could have never figured out. Here's the next question. What if it means that your advancement in prayer will never exceed your humility before God and people? I don't know, gang. Beware of people who want to put on the moniker or actually claim the title or even try to become a master in prayer. Prayer, by definition, I think, means not to master, but to be mastered by. Well, there's a lot there. And I'm just going to take the next couple of days to dive into it a little bit as we close out this letter. It's interesting that when Paul's kind of closing out, when, you know, what you say at the end really carries a lot of weight. What you say at the beginning, you know, he's like, out of his glories, he's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And then he unfolds all those blessings. And now he's telling us how to actually begin to translate those blessings into on earth as it is in heaven. And that is the place of prayer. But not just in the simple way. I think it can always be a simple way, but the understanding, the simplistic way that we can tend to just approach prayer. I don't know. We'll see. Well, let's hand it over. Dad's coming in, and we're about to sing with you this morning, and looking forward to that. Got a surprise to share with you. All right, everybody, look who's back. And our favorite. Let's see if you can name this tune of what we're going to sing today. I'm gonna whistle it, okay? I love any chance I get to whistle. I hear some of you saying I can name that tune in five notes. What is it, Dad?
Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet Hour of prayer. Tell them what's our page number.
440.
440 in our...
Great Redeemer's Praise.
Great Redeemer's Praise. If you don't have a copy, you need to get one. There's links today in all the notes. There's three verses. We're going to sing them all. And, you know, I've been talking about prayer today on the wake-up call and just about how you never graduate from the school of prayer.
Mm-mm. No. It's an everyday thing.
And, you know, something I've noticed about you, Dad, over the many years now, is how you have prayed for your children and your grandchildren.
I have. I mean, they need prayer, and I'm the one to give it.
That's, you know, I just kind of have this sense that that's really at the core of what family is.
Yeah.
Is it's that level of, you know, there's taking care of a person's needs, their physical needs,
right. And yeah,
there's giving the money they need and all that kind of thing, but prayer is the next level.
Yeah, it's the most important level.
It's the most important level because you're actually caring for them with the very resources of heaven, of God.
That's right.
And just saying their names from a heart of love.
Right. To God.
We don't.
In our prayers.
That's right. How's that work?
It just works.
It just works. We don't know how it works. But
who else are you going to pray to? I mean, there's only one God, and we know that God answers prayers.
We know it.
And so if I want my children to be blessed, I pray for them to God in prayers. And here's a good one, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Sweet hour of prayer that builds me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wills and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy reproach, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, the bliss I share, of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Last verse. Sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Excuse me. It sneezed.
Well, I got something to show y'all.
My sight is getting worse.
Your sight's getting worse?
Yeah.
Well, that's a sign that
I'm not reading these hymns.
You're doing good. Look here, guys. A few days ago, I said, anybody want to write Dad a note? Because you're always telling me how much you appreciate Dad. Y'all, look at this. There's over 200 letters and cards that have come to you, Dad.
Oh, I know it. I don't know what I'm going to do.
What do you say about all that?
Well, I say thank you. And just, you know, we're all in this together.
Look at all this, y'all. Hundreds. And they're not just little sentimental greeting cards.
They've got a message.
People are writing long letters in here. Look at all this.
It's hard to believe that y'all are so faithful.
Look at this, y'all. And then on this side, we've got a bunch that we've not even opened yet.
I know it. It's just remarkable.
And there was one man, Dad, from Lubbock, Texas, who drew a picture of me and you. And it looks a lot better of you than it does of me. But we just want to say thank you, because Dad will read those over and over again.
Oh, yeah. It's just more than we ever expected.
And it's a blessing. And, you know, it's kind of fitting.
Definitely a blessing.
It's kind of fitting as we come to the end of this Ephesians letter that all these friends have written you letters.
I know it.
Letters matter.
I know it. And, you know, just remember, if you have an aunt or an uncle that's in distress or having a hard time in life, write them a note. And believe me, they will get that note and they'll read it. And it will change them. It will change them. And it's really no big deal for you. I mean, it'll make you feel better.
That's right. You know what a letter is? It's like a prayer in the mail.
That's right.
Isn't that what it is?
It is. That's what it is. That's a good way to put it.
I think, you know, we talk about the sweet hour of prayer. You could actually take the letter into your prayer and just start writing while you're praying. And it's amazing how God will speak and join into that.
I know. You know, whenever you pray, God is with you and God is helping you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about saying a word wrong.
That's right.
Because God corrects your mistakes.
That's right. He edits our prayers as needed. We don't have to edit them ourselves.
No, you just have to just say, "Dear God," and then go on.
And he just perks up. Well, guys, that's good for today. And, Dad, thanks thank all of you for all those cards and letters. What a blessing. That's true. So for The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
And we'll see you
on the field.
On the field today.